This is a Dice World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hello, my name is Will Gilman, producer of The Hustle. We were asked to come up with a family-friendly promo, which is difficult because we curse a lot, and generally speaking, it's a no-holds-barred comedy show. We use words like ass, bitch, f***er, c***t, and n***er. You see, we are an edgy show. We use words like abs, bits, further, cart, and nearer. You see, we are an edgy show. That'll trick him. Now, where'd I put my chocolate milk?
Hustle.
That's right. It's The Hustle with your hosts, Adam Tucker, Travis Powell with the news, and occasionally Will Gilman. You can find more Hustle at pantspending.com/hustle.
I know you got to get your hustle on, so I pray.
Pants Pending.
Well, hello there. I'm Andrew from Pants Pending Studios, and I want to share with you from the good book of never-ending random discussion.
Again, I trust you are putting your valuables in the center of your living rooms as previously instructed. Good Lord, I hope that's previously instructed.
The Never-Ending Random Discussion is a collection of funny and interesting people sitting down to be random.
Why is she naked?
Those eyes are so piercing.
It's
I forgot that she had tiny little animal eyes, like beady little black eyes. Oh dear God.
Why is she covered in frosting? That's weird. That's like a cake thing. That's not for donuts.
It's your favorite flavor.
Anything can happen, and anything does happen. Not that I'm sexist, but kitchens need to stay in women. I went with it.
Kitchens need to stay in women. That's Andrew Reisenhoover 2016.
Find the show at celebrategeek.com/nerd. Tune in and thank me later. Pants pending.
Listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
It's definitely not consensual.
Get ready for the Social Hour.
Live from Dice World Studios in Spokane, Washington. This is The Social Hour. On today's show, comedian Mark Morris with producer Traz Swartout and Jay Mitz on the news. And now your host. The real reason he got behind releasing podcasts was because the NBA season started again. Dees Casillas.
Malav Keen, everyone, welcome to the Social Hour. I'm your host, Dees. Thanks for hanging out for another episode. We are back in studio. It's just Traz night at night hanging out, just the boys.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Jay, we kicked her out for the evening. She has got the night off, so we are just cold chilling, kicking. We ordered a pizza, got some strippers coming.
Take that, Jay. Don't miss episodes.
Yeah, that's right. I know you'd want the strippers, too. You probably like strippers. Actually, I know you. I've been to a strip club with Jay. I know. She for sure likes strippers more than I do.
Strippers love pizza. Good night.
Jay tried to buy me a lap dance last time we were at a strip club, and I declined.
What?
Yeah.
Why'd you decline?
I'm not into it, man. I don't get some, ugh, I'm nah. No. No. Pass.
Okay, there's got to be some way that you would be willing to accept a lap dance.
Listen.
Is it just like strippers in general, or like if it was your girlfriend, could she give you a lap dance?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't have a girlfriend. If I had a girlfriend,
right,
she would give. I would accept a lap dance from someone I was dating, I think. Although I feel like that would feel weird to me. Like, it would feel kind of dirty. Like, I'd feel like I would have to pay her and, like, you know, snort a line of coke with her through, like, some umbrella straw. afterwards.
Yeah, that would definitely help keep the evening going.
Cocaine helps the evening going. Yeah, that's like that was their whole campaign back in the day. So to be honest with you, I don't know when you're gonna hear this episode. Otherwise, I'd talk about more relevant things. But we've been in such a fucking pickle with that shit company, GoDaddy. Our website's been down for a couple weeks. Good news is, well, the website's back up as you hear this. You know, obviously, if you're on our website listening to this. But as we record this, which is, the website's back up, but we're transferring hosts. We're on the new host. They're uploading all the old podcasts, and we're getting it back in line. So we'll be able to bring you the new episodes every Wednesday like we have been. We've still been recording. There's plenty of episodes in the can. You've heard them again. But like, I'm so confused at when this is actually going to, people are going to hear it. I don't know like what's actually happening around the time this comes out.
Gosh, and it's probably horrible for our fans.
Yeah. Yeah, they just this couple weeks lull. The good news is you're going to have just a cavalcade, just a barrage of episodes coming your way. And some great ones too.
Barrage of dicks. Isn't that a Jay's
barrage of dicks? Yeah, hold on. That reminds me. I gotta plug in
That's the title of Jay's autobiography.
Yeah, I gotta plug in my sound machine here. Hold on. All right, there we go. Cool. A couple of things I do want to talk about. We just we had a little we did the tinnabulation. I think is how you pronounce it. Festival downtown, a bunch of comics did. That was fun. It was a first year festival. It was interesting. There were certainly some kinks in the whole thing, but for a first year festival, I think it went real well. Hopefully everyone went and checked it out. It was a good time. I think it's going to be really big eventually.
Yeah.
They had some cool setup. First year festivals are always. Listen, Ja Rule set up a festival in like Bermuda, it was just a piece of shit. So they put on a festival better than Ja Rule. So I think that, like, no one was sleeping in FEMA tents and tinnabulation.
There's no bugs.
No
infestations.
It was nothing like no one's eating. Yeah, like rations and trapped on an island.
Trapped on an island with Ja Rule.
That'd be terrible.
Was Ja Rule in the city of Spokane during this festival?
Oh, no. That would have been terrible, right?
Fucking hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Nailed it. So it was a good, it's great because we got linked into this festival first year. So I think they're getting, down the road to be able to be a part of this thing is going to be really, really big. I like it. So
can you tell me a little bit about it? Because unfortunately, I couldn't go to any either night.
Yes.
Weekend festival.
So it was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, kind of all day thing. They had a bunch of bands, a couple really cool acts. They had the comics and poets doing some stuff. Unfortunately, like the weekend was supposed to be really smoky. The smoke just cleared. So I think that deterred some people. Also, it was the first weekend of the fair. And listen, fucking Spokane loves the fair.
Spokane loves Denny's and the fair.
Yeah,
all
they
that shit.
They come out for when the fair happens. Like Spokane shuts down. Like I always say, but like when the fair happens, like somewhere there's an empty Walmart. Like it's just they're like, where'd everyone go? What happened?
Spokane's like, oh, we got a hip new festival featuring cutting edge bands. Nope, we're going to the carnival.
Right, no, I need to ride the Tilt-A-Whirl and have someone with hepatitis C serve me an elephant ear.
Exactly.
So yeah, I need to do spin art at the fair. This is the fucking fair too. Here's what I like. What always cracks me up about the fair: everyone in Spokane acts like they're too good for the fair. And I always tell them, like, embrace your inner white trash. You know you want to go to the fair. It's entertaining. You know, you don't have to ride rides, but it's fun to go. Like, I go almost every year.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. And, people always, I don't go to the fair. I don't fucking fair. It's bullshit. It's just, it's garbage, just trashy people. And I'm like, listen, we live in a city of 400,000 people, and 600,000 people attend that fair every year. I'm just a Mexican with a GED, but that adds up to you're all fucking liars. Okay, you know you're going to that fucking fair. Everyone does. And that's fine. Go to the fair. You should. Have a good time. Eat a turkey leg. It's Americana. Embrace your white trash. Just do it. You know, you're not... It's it's not a bad thing. You're not, you know, like feeding into a corporate machine. It's some traveling carnival.
Right.
Enjoy your end of summer.
I might go get a job with them.
Yeah, there you go. It's perfect.
The only thing I like about the fair, I'll agree with all the haters. It does kind of suck. It's greasy, grimy.
Sure. Lots of things I enjoy are greasy and grimy.
Super fucking filthy people everywhere. but I don't know. Did this ever happen to you? Like, I used to go to the fair a lot in high school and junior high and stuff like that. And it was kind of like a time of like budding relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like a sweet spot to take girls and just like kiss them on the carnival or on the Ferris wheel for the first
time. Try and pick up some girls, you know, that you might meet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that don't go to your high school.
So what's with that? You know, is it just like a magic time and place?
It is. I think there's something about. Listen, there's. I blame it on the movie The Lost Boys.
Why is that?
And it's all based around that carnival or like that little like seaside fair that they do or that they have going. It was wherever that movie is in like Northern California, right? I think it's set like. Anyway, somewhere around there, not San Francisco, but it's like some little seaside town, and they have a little fair. You know the movie The Lost Boys with the vampires and stuff?
I've heard of it.
You've never seen it? Oh, man. Yeah, it's like, okay, but...
Jeez, I'm sorry, I'm the worst, man. I'm the worst guy to be sitting here. I don't know anything about pop culture or any movies.
That's all right. It's an old movie. It's like 80s, like early 80s. So, I just think there's like a magical thing about the fair. It's like... Everyone there is here's what I like about the fair. I like whimsical things. Like every year during wintertime down at the Riverside Park and there's a big park downtown Spokane, right? And they have a skating rink, an ice skating rink. And every winter I go ice skating.
That's beautiful.
Like, man. I'm not a good ice skater. Like, I can stay up. I don't fall.
Jeez, stop it.
But, like, all right, I can do a triple sautow. I'm pretty good. like double Lutzes and things like that. I don't even know what that means. I just like the sequence outfits. but it's, like, I like whimsical things. Like, I like mini golf. I like roller skating. I like weird whimsical things. I think they keep you young.
Maybe cotton candy?
I mean, ostensibly, not personally, but yes, like those type of things. Like, just things that are like this. This is an activity for young people, and but it, like, keeps you young. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel, like... wistful, and you remember things
like the 18th hole of a mini golf course. Like, if it's moving and you like perfectly get it in there,
right? You get it through the little clown little mouth hero, and you hit the hole in one. But I mean, the fair is just it's like it's always towards the end of summer, and it was like this weird, like, end of summer closure on a chapter of your life. Because when you're like 15, a summer is like a chapter, it is like the Iliad. Like the like
Homer,
you know,
reference.
Like that summer is like it is literally like it is a whole thing that you categorize like, oh, the summer between 7th and 8th grade, you know. I remember that one back when I was, you know, I broke up with Stacy and then I met this girl who went to a high school across or like couple cities over, but she was staying with her aunt and uncle for the summer, and she
let me finger blast her.
How did you know? Exactly. You know, you go to the fair with friends and you meet new people and you have fun, and or we used to go to sell drugs too, I guess. But you know, whatever, you know, kid stuff, wacky kid stuff,
silly guys. No. So. Is your summer still kind of like that? Because I feel like mine is a little bit like it's still definitely a chapter. I feel like I've managed to like have summer vacation every single year in some ways.
You know, my summers are not. I think my summers are kind of. I don't know if I compartmentalize them like that anymore. They get. My last few summers have been very similar. I've enjoyed them a lot, but I kind of like I travel and do comedy. I go do a lot of brewery tours and podcasts with breweries. And I go to the lake and I drink a lot. I play, like, I have a lot
that's
of fun.
Up, yeah.
But you know, there's always like when you're younger, those moments meant more because they were like distinct and first time, you know, your first whatever, first time you get laid, first time you do this drug, first time you go to this place or whatever. Like, those things happen. Now it's like I'm still doing coke. It's, you know, like, right. Like it's, I'm 35 and I'm doing coke and finger blasting Stacy on the Ferris wheel. Not as magical anymore, kids. But yeah, so it's not, you know, it's they're not quite as distinct chapters. They kind of blend a little more as you get older, because when you're young, when you're like 14, a year is that's a 14th of your life. At 35, like I am now, that's like a year of your life is a much smaller portion of,
right,
you know, your whole existence. So it doesn't mean as much.
Right. Yeah.
So
I guess we're just all jaded from already finger blasting chicks.
Yeah.
Already doing coke.
So,
jeez.
So listeners, what we're telling you is just save the coke and finger blasting to at least over 50 so you can have something to live for and not want to kill yourself every day.
Fucking brilliant advice.
Let's see. Oh, also, I don't know how we got on that tangent. Oh, festivals. Carnival. Real quickly, guys, Comedy Confessions, if this comes out before the 17th of September, Comedy Confessions is coming back. You asked for it. You demanded it. We give it to you. Spo Comedy is bringing back Comedy Confessions with a slight new twist and a new home. We are now at the Riddler Piano Bar, 718 West Riverside Avenue. We're going to be doing our first return September 17th. At 8 p.m., it's going to be a free show. First one free, like a crack dealer, get you hooked. Then you want to come back. And then hopefully we are going to continue doing it. We're going to figure out how often, maybe once a month or so. But yeah, you guys asked for it. We're giving it to you. That'll feature Josh T. Ford, Mika Lahman, and Folger Emerson. And also, if this comes out before that, come see me at the Buzz Comedy Showcase on the 18th. We're going to have Mark Morris in here soon. He hosts that show, and he'll talk about it, I'm sure. But I don't know if this is going to come out before that episode, before that date. So
tell me about the Comedy Confessions. Well, do you have any idea what the topic's going to be? Or
so we're changing it up.
What the format's going to be? Yeah.
So here's the format now. The format formerly was we had three comics, one topic. You know, like we did like first and worst blackouts or jail tales or baby mama drama, things like that. So real catchy names.
Right.
And each comic would give 15 minutes to talk about their story, like a storyteller, you know.
Okay, cool.
And it was fun. I got to do a couple of them. This version we're doing now is going to be a little more succinct, and a little more, it's going to be more. So basically what we're going to do is there's no one topic for the show anymore. I'll be hosting.
It's just like, tell me you're just fucking most terrible, horrible life experience.
I'll be hosting. We will have each comic. So like the first comic will come up. They'll do about 10 minutes of stand up and then they're going to sit down with me and I'm going to interview them and we're going to just ask them really fucking weird, provocative, interesting like questions, just like interview them.
Dude.
And then we're going to open it up to the audience if they want to ask them any questions, and then the comics have to.
Jeez, that's brutal.
So yeah,
that's brutal. It's gonna be fucking savage. I mean, just the fact that I'm going to be there, I'm going to be like, I have a question.
Exactly.
Yeah, I have a question for Deez.
Well, I'll be interviewing, but I'll answer some questions too. Maybe to get everyone lubed up at the start, I'll answer some questions.
So how many comics do you think are going to be?
We're going to do three on the first one and see how that goes. We're kind of playing with the format. We may change that and put it down to two so we have longer with each comic. If like we feel like we didn't get enough time, maybe go down to two. And then, yeah, just kind of go from there.
Yeah, right.
So
cool.
We think it'll be fun. But we're just kind of playing with it right now. We wanted to bring it back for you guys. We wanted to change it up, so... let's see.
It'd be weird to be a part of that show since I worked there. What's the nastiest thing you've ever done? Well, this weekend.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about this time I was at the fair. have you heard of a thing about the county fair? You know, it's funny because I used to live in California, and like, as everyone knows, when you go to the fair, it is literally the same fair everywhere. Like, the L.A. County Fair is just as shitty as any fair you'll ever go to. It's not better. It's just a little bigger. But that's it.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you go to the Spokane Fair, and then you go to even the Missoula Fair. It's the same fair. It's literally, like, they go from county to county. It's the,
right.
They travel. It's the same rides.
same people. You literally could be like a traveling carny. That's a thing.
Yeah, I love Tom Meisford has a joke about it. I'm going to slaughter. I'm going to do it no justice. But he's like, carnivals, for when you need a job, they'll get you out of town right now. You know? I couldn't imagine wanting to. I mean, it sounds
glorious, but it's just you're rolling around with a bunch of fucking ex-methods.
Yeah, like the idea of being on the road doesn't sound terrible. The idea of being on the road as a carny sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Really? some wild carnies too. Poor little boy in junior high when a cute little stuffed animal was an alligator, kind of was long and slender. You see where this is going? The carny jacked it from me.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, what do you got here? Proceeds to jerk it off. I was like, oh.
I don't want that thing anymore.
Yeah, you can just go ahead and keep that one.
Yeah, it turns out I didn't want that anyway. Let's see. I've got one more thing I want to talk about, but we're getting up to 7:30. We need to get Mark in here. Maybe I'll talk about it with Mark. We'll see. Yeah, maybe this will be a fun thing to talk about with Mark. All right, guys. We are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Mark, comedian Mark Morris, and we're going to talk to him all about his shows coming up and what's going on. Life as a trucker on the road. All right, we'll see you guys in a minute.
Stop looking at me in the eye when I'm talking. I'm a celebrity! I'm Burr Martin from the Burr Martin Experience. Never heard of me? You remember a while ago when every time you opened up your internet browser, there was some chubby dude in a white tank top making fun of his daughter's selfies? Yeah, it was me. So the good news is I'm hosting a podcast, which is audio. That means you don't have to look at me. I'm also a geek and have been into comics for as long as I can remember. So as the internet dubbed me Selfie Dad, I'll be talking to parents and kids about growing up, being geeks, and how they got to be where they are now. Look, it's only an hour every other week, and since my wife is listening, the podcast is kid-friendly and family-approved. Let's call it your PG-13 podcast, but I should probably say a little more Bad News Bears and a lot less Shark Boy and Lava Girl. So look for the Burr Martin Experience every other Sunday night where you can find me on panspending.com, iTunes, or wherever quality podcasts are found. Yeah, every other week. What am I, a machine? Quit looking me in the eye! I see you doing it! Where's my brown M&Ms? Just the brown ones.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for hanging out through that quick commercial break. We have got in studio comedian Mark Morris with us. Mark, how you doing?
Great. How's everybody else?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for coming. We're going to talk to Mark here in a second. Real quick, guys, as usual, go to pantspending.com. Check out all the shows on the network. Lots of new stuff coming. I know I've been saying that for a while, but I'm actually... As we record it this Saturday, I'm going to be producing a pilot episode for a new podcast. Hopefully, we'll be bringing to the network. Found some talent, and I'm going to help them produce a podcast this week. And we're going to do a couple episodes, and hopefully it's something that pans out. I've got a couple more of those in the fire. So we might have I'm going to be EPing a couple new talent, a couple shows. So hopefully that'll happen soon. It'll all be in my book. How to Get Rich Slowly, the Deez Casillas story. Just EP in one podcast at a time.
That's your weight loss program, right? You're going to spread yourself so thin you can see through you. And then...
Basically, yeah, that's what I do. It's a fucking nightmare. Like I was talking to someone the other day, and I don't remember what we were talking about. But I'm like, I go, I don't think you really understand. I go, you guys know I'm busy, but... Like, if you really saw, like, my Google calendar is, like, color-coded. It's every day from, like, 6:30 till midnight. There's, like, things. Like, I'm on a razor's edge of time. I'll be like, okay, I have, if I get home, I'll be home at, like, 5:37, and I have people coming over at 6:15, so I can go drive up to the store. I can pick up some groceries, like, fucking power shop real quick and get home. I can let my dog out. I have just enough time to set up. We'll record the podcast, and it's like... razors thin margins of time I run on, and then I drink too much and don't sleep at all, so I'll be dead within a year. Not a year. I got another decade in me. I think, and then I'm gonna die.
You think so? I think you're going to be the progenitor of the zombie apocalypse. You will have been dead doing this podcast for like 6 months before you realize.
Oh my gosh, shit.
You'll hear a thump and it's like, holy fuck, was that my arm?
Maybe I already am dead. Maybe this is my hell. Anyway, so go to pantspending.com, guys. Check out all the shows. Go to Patreon.com/pantspending. Kick in a couple bucks. Help us keep growing, guys. We've had a lot of really nice growth. We've got the Extremist Movie Debate just came to the network. That's a really awesome show. I want to get those guys on. We were hanging out with Jeff from that show the other night after Pig Out.
Okay.
Yeah, super cool guys.
Yeah.
He was we're making jokes that he and I are the troublemakers of the network. We stir the pot a little. That's okay. Someone's got to do it, right?
Absolutely. So,
all right.
Yeah, because all those guys over at the Hustle just haven't got any stamina.
I'm not familiar with that show.
I think it's a dance program based on the name.
Interesting. The Hustle.
I did the Hustle in the 70s, so shut up.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Will, Adam, and Travis. They're great guys. And they have a great fine program. Go check out those guys over there. New episodes late every Sunday night, I believe the Hustle comes out. Okay, let's talk to Mark. Mark has been on the show before. You've been on the show twice now, a couple times. You've been here a couple times.
I think so, at least once. Once, maybe twice.
Yeah, I feel like twice. But Mark is a comic, and also he hosts the Buzz Comedy Showcase, which is once a month at the Buzz, nice little place down kind of East Central Spokane on Thor Street. Just changed over from kind of a coffee place to like kind of more nightlife place, right? They're kind of mixing it up.
It is now Spokane's newest pizzeria.
Okay.
They got their pizza ovens in and everything going, because you can swing a dead cat and hit 7 coffee shops in that area.
Yeah.
But there are no other pizza places close by, so that's kind of cool. And it is. They've got trivia nights on Tuesdays. They're doing poetry nights. They're doing the comedy once a month, which I'm in love with. Not that I'm biased or anything. I think personally it's the best night of the month. But which it's, by the way, is the third Monday of every month.
Perfect. Third Monday of every month, guys. So mark your calendars, 8:00. Nice. It's a competition too, right? I should know. I'm doing it in a couple days.
This is the second time this week, and Deese is on this show in 7 days that he's been, well, I think it's this. And I think I'm supposed to be there.
This may shock you guys. Despite as organized as I am with my time, I just like show up and do things. Like I just say yes and then just show up. Be like, so what are we doing again? How's this go down?
Okay. Well, I also make the mistake of talking to you after about the third shot. So
yeah, that's well, don't call me at 10 a.m. anymore.
No, actually, the show at the Buzz it's a real simple format. The same hacky host goes up and does about 10 minutes of material, and then 4 amazing local comics go up and do 15-minute sets.
All right.
At the end of the night, I bring them back up 2 at a time and let the audience, by applause, decide who they felt did the best job that night.
All right.
The great thing for me about it is, number one, I'm not trying to find out who the best comic is. I'm trying to find out who brought the material strongest that night.
Yeah.
You know, I think all the guys and gal, ladies, men and women on that show are amazing every month. The second thing is all the comics get paid for their time, but the top comic gets a huge cash bonus large enough to get an Uber all the way from Thorn Freya to Sprague.
Nice.
It's, yeah.
And then enough for a hand job by a dirty hooker afterwards.
And for anybody outside the Spokane area that doesn't know, you could probably walk that in 5 minutes. So
yeah, it's pretty easy. It's pretty close. I actually used to live right there in that area when I first moved here.
Oh, really? They should. Well, you know, when you live in a house with 7 women and you're the only dude wearing a pink fedora with a feather in the hat, you gotta close down early.
Gotta make some money somehow, man. Actually, I liked that neighborhood when I first moved there. Before they tore it all down. They tore my house down for a freeway that'll never get built.
That's just what they told you, Deez. They found out you were the only Mexican in the neighborhood, yeah. And that's the only house that got torn down.
Actually, it was really great once they started tearing the neighborhood down, because I'd hit golf balls like in my backyard towards the freeway, and I just had like a couple lots I could hit them.
You're the son of a bitch.
Sorry,
I'd like to talk to you about a windshield and a side window later. Yeah.
It's funny. There's some people that they still live there, but they were across the street from me. There's like a 12 block radius over there now that they are literally the only house. Like, they're holding out. They won't budge. And eventually they're just going to get bulldozed, you know, no matter what. It's like, take the money soon, because eventually the city is just going to say eminent domain and like fucking take it cheap. Like, take the money where they're offering you some. But they,
right?
Yeah, they probably figure they'll die before the freeway gets built. So maybe it's smart. Who cares? Just build the freeway around it. Just have this one house.
Did you guys hear about that accidental fire that started in that one house? Yeah, it was horrible.
Where? No. What?
Oh no! I'm sorry. I was making a pitch to the city to take care of the problem.
I'm with you now. Yeah, that was just terrible. Just get the dogs out first. Third Monday of every month, we have the Buzz Comedy Showcase at the Buzz Pizzeria now, no longer Buzz Coffee House, the Buzz Pizzeria. And then also you have a show down in Rockford. You do Rockford. That's still Washington. Rockford, Washington.
Yeah, Rockford, Washington. It's close enough. It's so much closer to Idaho that it makes me scared every time I go there. Rockford, Washington, about 20 minutes south of the valley, and the next show there is going to be October 20th.
Okay.
Where one of the show's best friends, Jessica Watson, is opening.
Very nice.
For Michael Glatzmeyer.
All right. Very good.
He's a hilarious dude, and then you put him behind his guitar, and he's just magic.
Yeah, perfect. I love that. That'll be a good show. And that is at the Harvest Moon Bar and Grill and Eatery and Oil Change Facility.
I think there's a hairstyling salon off one side. Yeah, that's
Harvest Moon.
The Harvest Moon in Rockford, which is really difficult to find, because if you blink in Rockford, you've missed half the town, and it's right across from the Napa. So while you can go in, get a great steak and a couple of really stiff drinks and a quart of oil all on the same block. So
it's a cool little, I actually like that bar. So I actually got in trouble one time because my ex and I, we were going to the Coeur d'Alene Casino, and you go right by the Harvest Moon, you go right through Rockford. And she's like, you know, we're talking about this and talking about the Harvest Moon Bar. And I'm like, I've been there. She's like, you've been there? I'm like, yeah. I go, we were in there. We got drunk in there one time. She's like, no, we didn't. And I'm like, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. She's like, no, we didn't. I'm like, ooh.
And that's why Deez is single.
Who was that? In my head, I'm like, God, I was with a girl. I remember I was with a girl. And I never cheated on her, so I wasn't like with some other. It wasn't during that time we were together. But I'm thinking, like, who else? What other girl would I have been down here in Rockford with? And I couldn't fucking. I still, for the life of me, have no idea who.
You're
it was.
Positive it wasn't just a really pretty boy.
No, I don't know. I don't remember ever being down in Rockford with anyone before.
Maybe she just doesn't remember because of the roofies.
Maybe. I have to roofie her. I already had her. Yeah, it was just so funny. I should just stop talking always. This is why I don't have girlfriends. It's just too fucking different.
This is the way that I did that, and I'm divorced, so I'm not an expert. Right. But this is the way I did that with my wife. It's like, do you remember that place? And if she says no, that's the end of the conversation.
Good, neither do I. Let's never talk about it again. Yeah, that's why I'm one of the many, many reasons I'm single. Oh, my God. Jesus, yeah, I'm terrible. So go check that out, guys. Rockford is not as far as you think it is. It's really, you get off, if you're from the area, for our listeners who are from the Spokane area, you know, you get off the freeway at Pines in the Valley, and within half an hour tops, less than half an hour, you're in Rockford, you know. I mean, it really isn't that far. It's a nice drive. And I actually kind of like it's kind of a fun little, I mean, there's like two bars, but it's a fun little kind of cool place to drink. And I like driving places and getting drunk, though. That's like a pastime of mine. Getting places or driving places, getting drunk, driving places. I mean,
well, I'll be honest with you. The great thing about that show that I'm doing in Rockford is it's a structured show. It's a feature and a headliner, and it is quality talent. The last show I did, I had Harry J. Reilly as the headliner.
Never heard of him.
Before that, it was Philip Kopczynski. I'm talking the best local comedians, which is why Deese has not been. I haven't even invited Deese to drink as we had that show. but no, and actually, I'm working it out right now. I'm trying to work it out with the Spokane Comedy Club that some of the strong features that come through the area that are strong features and starting to headline may have the option of doing that show. If we can work out the right time in the right place as they're coming through.
Yeah.
So it's the whole concept of that show is to bring strong talent to a place that doesn't often get that kind of entertainment. And it's not so far outside of Spokane that you can't get. It's a free show. It's a two item minimum. And I'm telling you right now, I don't drink, but I have seen the glazed look on the eyes of my comedians that do that show after about their second one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking they're probably poured a pretty stiff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't know how to count down there, so.
Well, and I want to say for the record, these comics can fucking drink.
Well,
so if only two gets that glassy look on their face. Then,
if comics are good at one thing, it is getting drunk. That's for sure. Got to love an open bar. Any show with an open bar. Those are my favorite ones when I get to do those. Like when we went to Colville and did that show, there was an open bar, and at like 2:40 in the morning, they're still serving us shots of tequila at the bar. I'm like, holy shit. And then I said, thank you. I don't think I even tipped them. I think I just left because I was drunk.
Oh, no.
I think I was mad because they were Nazis, too.
Actually, I don't think it was even an open bar. He was just so drunk that he assumed, and they're still looking for him.
I'm out. Thank him the shithole again. Actually, I'd do it again. Paid me, gave me an open bar in a hotel room. Of course I'd do it again. Anyway. So anything else coming up for you, Mark, that you got going on?
Well, unfortunately, by the time this probably hits, everything will have gone past, but it's actually been a really busy time for me.
Yeah.
I just got up from L.A. where I got to mess around and do a little bit of stuff down there while I was driving truck, but I just got done harassing people all weekend at the Tenabulation Music Festival, which was a blast. I'm going to be at the open mic at the Spokane Comedy Club on Wednesday the 13th, but that same evening I'm featuring at Soulful Soups, which I will work for soup. I'm good with that.
That's a fun. I like that room actually. I like doing the Soulful Soups room. That's a good, fun little open mic. So,
have you guys tried their cookies?
No.
Oh God, they're the best cookies ever.
I've actually had soup
cookies
there
in
once.
Spokane scare me because I don't know what's in them, and nobody wants to see me loaded. There was a guy at the music festival that's like, "Hey, do you like cookies?" I'm like, you know, that used to be a safe question, but in this town, I'm afraid to answer.
You never know what's going to get you there.
I think the thing I'm most excited about going on right now, though, is on Thursday night, the 14th, I'm doing at the Spokane Comedy Club, it's the Grab Bag Comedy Showcase, which is the first time a reputable, which I just did Deese's show over at the Riddler, and I want this to come out just as biting as I mean it. A reputable booker asked me if I would come and do their show at a real club.
There you go.
So,
nice.
How's it feel?
You know, I feel real special. All I know is I don't want to fuck it up, you know?
Yeah, that'll be a fun show. Good lineup on that, too. I think Tony Russell, Devin Devine, friends of the show. Who else is on?
Hannah Tilly and Josh Tiefert.
Hannah's not doing it.
She's not.
She's not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Josh, Casey, I'm on it. I don't know who else.
Well, you know, it's about 18 comics. We're all going to do about 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Hot
35.
It's to my understanding, something in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 comics. Everybody's doing about 10 minute sets, but we all have to pick a word out of the bag and then incorporate a joke with that word into the set. So I like the improv aspect.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Yeah, it's interesting to do that. I think there's a couple people that are better at than others. Actually, I think a lot of the people who would really excel at that aren't necessarily doing that show. I don't know how. I'm just doing it because I say yes to anything.
That's, did anybody else hear that's like, gee, thanks, Deez. I'm doing that show. I don't know that Mark will be really good at it.
I don't think I'll be good at it.
Well, no, the reason it's like two people walked up to me on the street in front of the club the other day, and they're like, oh, hey, are you performing tonight? I'm like, no, I'm not here tonight. And they're like, oh, well, we saw you at that thing. You were like one of the three funniest guys that night. I'm like, which means I'm third. Because if I was one of the two funniest guys, I'd be second.
Yeah, well, what I meant was, like, I think, like, guys like Glatzmeyer and Kopczynski, who Philip Kopczynski and Michael Glatzmeyer, two really super funny comics here in Spokane, are also great improv guys.
Yeah, like, they've got a really strong improv background.
So for them, I think it'd be easier, like, off the top for a, you know, you give them a word, I think it's easier for them to kind of figure out. Their minds just work in a way to massage things in differently, you know. So I think they would excel better. Like, I think they would be the people, not the other people be bad at it. I think those are the two people to be, like, jump to my mind as who would be the best at it, personally.
It's kind of a cross. Like, the drinking debate, which I love the show. I mean, I want to do that show more because it's kind of a muscle you need to exercise in order to really get good at it. But those people that really excel at that, it's not even a guarantee that they would do great at the grab bag thing, because really all you're looking at is touching the subject, whereas with the debate, you're diving into it.
Right, you have to have all that. Well, mostly all that, where the grab bag, you just kind of have to have incorporate your thing word into a joke somehow. And if you don't, I don't know what happens. I think nothing happens. They just tell you didn't do it.
I think they're looking for an awful lot. They're asking a bunch of stand-up comics to say ridiculous things, which is kind of a stretch.
Yeah, that'll be hard for them to do. I don't know if we're built for that.
I'm trying really hard to be a serious actor.
All right. Let's see. Okay. What we're going to do right now is we are going to get into the rundown with Mark, because we haven't done this with him since he's been last on the show. We haven't done this, did we?
No. Actually, the last time, both times I was here were kind of truncated shows because both of us had shows that we had to run to.
Yeah.
After this, so.
That's problem of being busy, I guess. It's a good problem to have,
right? It's the curse. It's the curse. When you're this funny looking, people want you to show up because it's a visual gag.
That alone is enough. All right. Here we are. We're going to do the rundown. Okay. First question. As always, and this is one of my favorite questions. Mark, if you could travel anywhere in the world, all expenses paid, anywhere you wanted, but you had to travel with the person you hate the most in life, where would you go, and who would that person be?
I listened to the show. I thought about this. I want to visit the rim of Kilauea with my ex-wife and just give her a nudge.
There you go. In Hawaii?
Yep.
Okay. All right. I love how it always goes to murder. This question always leads. At some point, someone who's been on this show is going to get arrested for murder. Just statistically speaking, it's going to happen. And they're going to, like, go back to this episode and be like, well, that time you kind of implied you would murder someone on that podcast was a little...
Would it be inappropriate for me to let anybody, I mean, to say that all this Mark's really awkward and doesn't get around really well stuff is just preparation for me being able to sell the accidental death thing?
Right, yeah.
No, I just tripped and she fell. It wasn't my fault.
There you go.
What about Kilauea makes that the spot?
Oh, it's an active volcano. If you're on the right side where it's flowing the other way, there is no body. I mean, she's just going to, we're done.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's even, you know, once you go into lava, there's no way to, even if you didn't disintegrate the body, there's no way to like retrieve the body. You can't go like die. It's not like when someone drowns in Lake Placid and you can like send divers down
for
bodies.
She fell into the caldera for just a second. We can brush that lava off. It'll be all right.
Oh yeah. All right. If you could purge for 1 hour, purge like the movie The Purge, what would you do?
I have already done so many things that I wanted to and gotten away with. I think what I would do is probably steal a Maserati and go for a joyride.
All right, that's a good one. Like that Maserati, huh? That's what you go for, the Maserati?
Well, yeah, because it's a shitty car. I don't want to keep it. I only get it for an hour. I mean, if I get to keep it, then we're talking Bentley, okay?
All right. But if you get to roam, you get to beat the shit out of any car, like hot wheel a car. You go Maserati. You don't go Lambo or like.
Well, I do still have to fit in it, Deese. Maseratis are a little bit roomier. Bigger.
All right. Okay, that's fair. Purge for, I like that.
Is it wrong that I've given thought to this? I mean, I've got logical reasons.
Yeah. It's great. No, it's great. Answer. Really great.
All right. We're going to go to the.
It makes it that much more interesting. It's like, oh, he's thought about it.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, this guy is really fucked up.
He's stewed on it for 800 miles.
We're going to go to the puzzle question, and this question is a little saucier, no pun intended, because we just ate pizza before we started recording this. But what is your go-to pizza topping? If you could have one pizza for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Okay, to me, those are two questions. Go-to pizza topping or pizza? First of all, if it's just a general pizza, start out, it's got to be an all-meat.
Okay.
Because I did not live this long and get this big to just eat vegetables. But the go-to topping is linguica. You got to have the – it's that sweet, spicy –
it's a good meat.
Yeah, it's – I just want a really good sausage. That's
all
I'm
saying.
All right,
you just want sausage. You heard it. Mark wants sausage in his mouth. Make it happen, pizza. The linguica, yeah, that's a good meat. Any meat, so pretty much any meat's good, right? But yeah, you gotta go. That's what we had. We had a meat lovers, didn't we? I think we had meaty something. So all right.
Yeah, and if you really want to get like continental, you can do it on like the white garlic sauce.
Ooh,
that's
yeah.
a good sauce. Yeah, it's a good sauce too.
So
all right. Opposite side of the spectrum, we're going to fruit. One fruit to rule them all. What's your go-to fruit? If you can have one fruit, just one fruit for the rest of your life.
Pineapple.
That's mine. That's mine. I love pineapple.
It's so good, and it's also so good for her later. I'm just saying.
Woo! I'm not sure. Oh, yeah.
It makes your cum taste good.
Yeah, that's true. That's
allegedly.
You know what? Actually, I got to give my ex-wife credit. She could suck a bowling ball through a garden hose, and she fed me lots of pineapple. So that's probably where my love for it originated.
God, I should stop eating so much asparagus. Let's see. Asparagus, one of those things, like, I wish everything of asparagus came with a sticky note that you, like, slapped on your forehead, and it just read, like, you just ate asparagus. Because every time I eat asparagus and I go take a piss, I'm like, oh my god, what STD did I get? This is fucking, like, what is this smell? Like, what the fuck just happened? I remember being in Tijuana recently. Tijuana is the name of a stripper down at the Deja Vu.
Anybody that's seen me know I wear a lot of weird T-shirts with crazy sayings and stuff on them. And I want to get one that just says across the back, yes, I just ate asparagus, so that if you see me standing at the urinal, you know exactly what went on.
There's no questions if it's weird. Okay, let's superpower. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Teleportation.
All right.
And not that line of sight bullshit. Yeah, I want to just be able to visualize any place I've been and appear there and then do a random tour of all the best banks of Spokane.
It's a good one. I like it. All right. Teleportation. That's a good one. Let's see. Guilty pleasure song. I need it. What is your guilty pleasure song of yours?
Okay, it's Meghan Trainor, but it's not Meghan Trainor. It's not all about that bass. It's the Star Wars remix. Yeah, I don't know. Google it, and it's all about that bass, but it's not no treble. It's no rebels.
Okay.
YouTube search.
And mainly, I just love it because I love seeing stormtroopers dance to a Meghan Trainor song.
All about that bass, sorry for me, all about that. So I think maybe this is it. No, that's the. Hold on.
These are the hands that.
Hold on. Now, hold on. We're gonna find.
When I looked it up, I just looked up all about that bass, no rebels, and it popped right up. And the fact that I know that so quickly probably says more about me than the question itself.
All about that bass.
You know, the fun part about this is I look all this stuff up as I'm driving. I can't do it in Washington anymore without risking a ticket, but I just look it up on my phone as I'm driving the semi.
Just talk. Can't you talk to it? Can't you just talk to your semi?
Well, I can, but it doesn't talk back.
Yeah, it's not Kit.
Yeah, it's not Kit.
All right.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no rebels.
That's it.
about that bass.
And it's not so much the song as the video that does it for me. I gotta be honest.
No rebels. I'm all about that bass.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. This ain't a small moon,
but it can shine. You said guilty pleasure. I can
imagine you driving down the highway, like Highway 10, just like bumping this.
You know, the sound system in the semi is pretty good.
Wow.
And now I want to qualify all of this with the fact that I actually don't really listen to music in the truck.
No? Oh, you just let you podcast.
I listen to podcasts, which means mainly what I listen to is Deese telling bad dick jokes and talking about how he almost died in Belize.
Yeah, I do. Well, all those things are true.
Thank you for being our fan.
All right.
I wouldn't say our. Actually, it's all about you, Trass.
Yeah,
so.
Oh, nice.
Trass is the draw. He's the brains of the operation.
So I do all the writing. Pen and pencil.
Well, you're one of the few people your age that still know how to operate that equipment. That's why.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. It was a struggle for him to find somebody to fill his position.
Yeah.
Deese can type like a son of a bitch, but only Traz can actually write.
Now the part where we turn around. Mark, you get to ask us a question.
Oh, God, and you know what? This is the part that I never really follow through on because I'm so worried about what my answers are going to be. Oh, man. You know what? If you had to settle down with one person the rest of your life, what's the number one quality that would attract you to that person, Deese?
That's a fucking phenomenal question, Mark.
Ladies, listen up. Gentlemen, you two were not sure about Deese yet.
Number one quality. Probably that they sleep a lot. Or maybe mute. Mute's a good one.
See, my money was on poor judgment.
No, if they're with me, they already have that. That's a given. Number one quality.
That is just like a brutal, brutal mind beater because there's so many things.
Somebody asked me what my one of my deal breakers was one time. And I remember that question. Oh, smoking. Yeah. Smoking cigarettes is a deal breaker for me. I think. Well, I don't know if this is my number one thing, but someone who enjoys experiences over things.
Oh, boo! You kind of just stole my answer.
I like that though. I like that.
I'm not into things, as you know, by being in my house. I'm a man of simple pleasures. I don't have. I'm not sentimental. I don't have a lot of things that I require. I love experiences, though. I like to go places. I like to, like, I'll even take day trips to random little towns just to, like, hit a brewery and hang out and meet some people and go. Like, that's an experience to me. I don't want things. I don't need things, you know. I'm good. Someone who has wants likes to experience, not just have, like, things.
Yeah, pretty much an enthusiasm for life.
Very. Yeah. Seeing the fact that, you know what I find most interesting about that question? Everybody I've asked, and I've asked that question actually to a few different people.
Yeah.
Everybody keys in immediately to what their deal breaker is,
yeah.
what the negative, so much quicker. To actually answer when a positive is always harder for people. I think that's really telling.
Yeah. I was kind of trying to stall so I could think of an answer. But yeah,
he was trying to figure out how to lie as acceptably as possible.
My thing's so weird though. I always tell people like I don't have like, so some people like I need A, B, C, or, you know, and those are like, these are like my markers. Like I need I hit these bullet points, and I'm not like that when I date. Like I have like an algorithm, and I need it's like, for me, it's a percentage on different levels, because some people offer more in some categories and less in others, but it kind of, as long as it kind of balances out to my algorithm that I'm looking for, we're cool, you know. But it's, I just, there's yeah, I think they gotta have a zest for life. I can't, I've been with too many girls who don't want to do anything, or like they don't have like a desire for life. I don't get that. Like they don't have any goals or any wants or anything. Like I've literally looked at them and I'd be like, I don't know what you like. Like what you do. I don't know what you do, you know. And that's like where you go out and you drink and you hang out, but like you don't have something you have a passion for, you know. And I don't get that.
So. Do I have to answer my own question, or can I just?
Sure,
like,
yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let's do that.
For me, somebody that generates their own happiness internally, like they don't need something outside
right.
to make them happy. They can choose to be happy on their own, and the confidence that comes from that.
Yeah, I think that's a big one too. I think this is more common with younger people. As generations, you know, younger generations, but I think it's also in general more common with women. They have more of a problem creating happiness within themselves. I think we're just innately wired as men to be like, hey, we get up in the morning and we go hunt and fish and kill things. And like, we need goals. And like, that's like doing things is what makes men happy at a core level, you know. Like
creating happiness inside of women makes me happy.
And there
are
you
we
go.
Going back to that yeah. porn that you discussed in previous episodes?
Yeah.
I'm just
yep.
okay.
Yeah.
I like. Did anybody else see the question? I think it was Cavassier that posed, be the porn that you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see my answer to that?
No.
It's like, you know how difficult it is to find a willing. Octopus in the Pacific Northwest
coming out of Asian schoolgirl's uniform. All right, that's it. That's the rundown. There you go, folks. Let's see.
It's the rundown without the rock.
All right. Jay is not here, but I have a couple things I want to talk about. So let's see real quickly. We're just gonna get into a little bit of news adjacent stuff.
Broadcasting live from the news mecca, Spokane, Washington, to our affiliates all over the world. This is the Social Hour News.
All right, here it is. News without Jay. So first of all, a little thing I want to talk about. As we record this, it is 9/11, and we all know what happened that day. That's the day that Paula Poundstone got acquitted for molesting those kids. Actually, that's true.
That's the day that my cousin lost his business in New York.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I went bankrupt.
Did he sell box cutters or something?
No, he serviced vending machines in a couple of buildings.
So 9/11. A couple things about 9/11 before we get into what I really want to talk about. Just to everyone out there, I don't need your super pretentious posts about where you were on 9/11. We all remember. It was a tragedy. Shut the fuck up. I hate that, like, it's this weird thing where people turn it around and make, like, events about them. And I hate that. Like, listen, we all get it. It was bad. We all fucking remember what day it was. We should remember the people who died and the hundreds and hundreds of, not hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands of soldiers who've perished in what I will call unnecessary wars since then for our country.
And the equally large number that perished from the clap after, you know, right, a weekend with the girls.
Right. It just keeps going on and on. The tragedy unravels. But stop making it about yourself, people. It's a tragedy. It's a thing. We all remember it. Nobody also cares where you were when it happened. But the thing I want to talk about is the every year I get sucked down this rabbit hole of the conspiracy theories of 9/11. Every year. Every single year. Because, like, people post videos, and you start, you know, these little videos, and you start watching them, and you're like, you know, maybe that's okay. There's, like, you, there's little things, and I haven't done enough research one way or the other. There's convincing evidence in every direction, or at least some sort of evidence, because it's very easy to spin certain evidence in the way you want it, in the to get results you want, you know.
So I'm pretty much a conspiracy theorist on 9/11.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I wanted to talk this conversation.
Sure, you're not surprised. and to me, like, I remember when fishy stuff started coming out a little bit, that made you think, you know, sort of those conspiracy videos you're talking about.
Yeah.
And to me, I always was just like, I treated the situation like a literal legal court trial. You know what I mean? Like, is there motive? Is there, like, intent?
Is it
probable that they were able to execute it? And to me, I was like, well, we're going to find out if there's motive over the course of the next, like, you know, 10 to 15 years or whatever. We'll see, like, what were the actions of the, you know, what was the response to this? And to me, it's like, you know, we went to war with, like, Libya and, like, Sudan and Iraq and Afghanistan. And really none of those countries were 9/11. But that's the actual result, you know. We're still at war with Afghanistan.
When you hear about
the heroin thing in Afghanistan, yeah. It's like maybe that was really the reason we were there.
Okay. I'm a comedian, so I go two ways with this immediately. First of all, I go with, well, Trump Tower became much more expensive real estate in comparison, and now look at who the president is. Just saying. the other part of me actually hates all of these conversations because the joke about my cousin that lost his business, he was supposed to be refilling the machines on one of the towers that morning.
Yeah.
So and I was born in New York, so it's actually personal to me. I look at it like this. We will never probably know really what's behind all of it. What I know for sure is horrible things happened. People died and amazing people stepped up. When it comes to 9/11, I always think of one thing. I think of all those firefighters, all those policemen, all those people on the street that ran into the greatest architectural disaster of our time to see what they could do to help.
Yeah. It certainly was a tragedy. But my always question is what Traz, maybe you can answer this. What was the motive if America?
George Orwell talks about it in 1984. They talk about how they're always like going to war with like the East Empire and the West Empire, and you know, it's like they're kind of like, oh, I thought we were friends with those guys like last month, and they're like, oh no, of course not. We've always been to war with East China or whatever, and that's pretty much what it was. Is like. It was to create the war on terrorism. Tupac said in the song Changes, instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police could bother me. And the war on drugs is like a failed thing, so now we got a war on terrorism. And it's like, it's been so invasive, you know, with wiretapping and the way that they're trying to like, the way that they're trying to catch terrorists by taking away like the freedoms and stuff that used to be really, really fucking important.
Do you think
people.
They needed that event for that to happen though?
Yeah.
Why?
To justify going to war. Like people, George Bush Sr. wanted to go was involved with the Gulf War.
Right.
And then like pretty much like popular opinion shut that shit down. And it's like kind of weird that like, you know, 10 years later, that same exact war with Saddam Hussein was restarted by his son.
Yeah.
Like because of 9/11. And it's like, to me, like 9/11 was like about the terrorists that fucked up the towers. But it was never about that, like, with our response. Like, we went to war with Iraq. So, you know, I'm just saying, like, maybe he was a horrible guy, but definitely didn't do 9/11.
Yeah.
And Afghanistan, like, you know, maybe there's horrible people there, but it's like they definitely didn't do 9/11.
Well, they were harboring Al-Qaeda.
What is even Al-Qaeda now? It's like we, like, work with Al-Qaeda now.
Well, we were the ones who trained them originally.
Right, so there's that too. So it's like problem, reaction, solution. Where have I heard that? You know,
you guys are gonna suck me into this shit, aren't you? Yeah. Two things, and I'm. You know what? I love conspiracy theories. I love fucking with people and using words. And the reality is I can argue any side of the case. First of all the way back to the Kennedy administration. George Bush Sr. was number two in charge of the CIA during the Kennedy administration.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a family tree that has been in the upper echelons and behind the scenes of government for decades.
Can I talk about Operation Northwoods, which involves like the CIA and JFK and 9/11? Okay, sure. So Operation Northwoods was a plan created by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the heads of all of the military branches, signed off by them and proposed to JFK. And Operation Northwoods was where the government, this is back in like, you know, the 60s, was going to use remote controlled drones, airplane drones, and fly them into buildings in the United States and blame it on the Cubans. And JFK pretty much got that and was like, fuck that shit, I'm not doing that. And they're like, fuck you, JFK.
See, now what really pisses me off is that this all was stolen and, or discovered by Hollywood and is now turned into, what is the name of that show with Jack Bauer in it now?
Oh, 24.
No. It's the new one where the Designated Survivor, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a plan to blow up that building, and now look, that building blew up.
It's just a weird. I mean, I don't necessarily believe real hard one way or the other. I see weird things about it all the time, but one of the things that does kind of mess with you a little bit, or mess with me, is when you start watching the videos again. One of the biggest conspiracies they talk about is that it was real-time CGI of the planes crashing in the buildings, that there weren't actually planes that crashed into the buildings. They say real-time CGI was what those videos were. And actually, if you look at some of the videos now, granted, we don't have high-definition video, you know, the technology's come a long way, but there's actually a lot of things that you see when you watch the video and like that seem a little out of sorts, that seem a little odd. There's actually a lot of people who were witnesses on the ground who said they never saw a plane, you know,
right.
Things like that. So
this is where I'm going to try and just debunk that for once and for all. My cousin was running late that day and he was looking at the towers. Because he's like, shit, I'm supposed to be up there already and watched a plane fly into one.
Right. So I'm actually.
So there are people that, like family that I know that did see it. And he's not rich, so I'm pretty sure the government didn't pay him off.
Yeah, he could be hiding that riches.
But to me, one of the craziest things is Building 7. And I talk to a lot of people that don't even know what Building 7 was. And for the people who are listening that don't know, that was Building 7 was one of the buildings in the complex that wasn't hit by a plane. It had like some small damage from the other towers, like, you know, hitting it with some debris and had like some little fires going and stuff like that. But that building collapsed on that day also at pretty much perfectly free fall speed. And it totally is a controlled demolition. I actually kind of have like a little skit in my head that I would like to create one day. And it's based on people's response to 9/11. It's like, I see that video and I'm like, holy shit, that was a controlled demolition. And people are like, what are you, a fucking expert? So I wanted to make an a video where I see some guy get his arm chopped off and I'm like, holy shit, this guy just got his arm chopped off. And somebody looks at me and goes, what are you, a doctor?
No, but I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
How, okay, two other quick points. How about the fact that that literally just a plane flying through the air, like, if so, there's like a picture of the cone, the nose of a plane's, a jet's cone, their nose, that was hit by a bird, dented in. So how could like structural grade steel, how could a plane fly into that and not disintegrate? They've actually done tests where jets flying full speed into concrete, just concrete, not like industrial grade steel, and the jets just evaporate, like atomize upon impact. Right. So how did it enter the structure? It shouldn't have been able to, it should have exploded outside, not enter the structure. Even the people that took, that built the towers say that, like, it should have been able to take multiple hits from an airplane and still be standing.
Well, and you know, it's weird to speculate like one way or another, like, oh, if this is this kind of metal or that speed or like this kind of building, that
even
altitude.
Top speed, that jet is going less than 700 miles an hour.
Right. All right. Well, you
my
got
problem
me.
Is the way that, like, you know, the explosion happened, whatever, it could have been destroyed, but it's like the structure of the building, why would it just like perfectly collapse into its like own shell? Like, if the top like 12 floors were fucked up or whatever, that doesn't have the weight to like perfectly pancake down like they said. I don't believe that. And neither do structural engineers. Like, 14 floors collapsing wouldn't collapse the whole like 120 story building.
I don't think that there's anybody that can say that what everyone saw was the sole reason for the result. I think anybody that says that's probably kidding themselves, and the ones that go, well, our government wouldn't do that, are the same ones that voted Trump.
Probably.
I do think that perhaps something horrible happened, and then advantage of that was taken by people that were prepared to do worse. Also, I don't think people fully remember that there had been explosions within that complex of buildings previously.
Right.
But, oh no, upon investigation, there was no structural damage. I don't care how small an explosion it is. If you set off an explosion in a sub-basement, it's going to affect a structure. So I think, you know, perhaps there's probably a weird group of things that all just lined up perfectly, kind
but
of like
the
eclipse, Trump, and the end of the world.
Necessarily, though. But okay, last thing. This is something I didn't know until today. The day before,
dude, I know this. This fucking shit pisses me off. Okay.
Rumsfeld had just revealed that the Pentagon had misplaced $230 trillion.
$2.3 trillion
unaccounted for.
And at the time, that was like almost our entire national deficit, which just topped $20 trillion, like pretty much today. So back then, like in the George Bush era, our national debt was at like $4 or $5 trillion. So missing $2.3 trillion was like misplacing all of the money that our government spent from like fucking the '70s until 2001.
Here's the funny thing, though. The exact place that they say the jet, again, there's more evidence that kind of suggests what hit the Pentagon wasn't even a jet, hit directly in the spot where they were doing, like, basically the accounting work and all the files for that project.
And those people lost
and that
their lives.
That all was gone. And there's like, well, I guess we can't work on that anymore. Whoops.
I'm sorry. I can't comment on this at all because it would affect my ability to light cigars with $1,000 bills. And fuck Bucky, that little bastard that was working in that particular room.
Gosh.
It was just really, not only that, but like what hit the Pentagon was, they said, a 747 with 125-foot wingspan. And there was barely a hole less than 60 feet in the Pentagon. Also, the camera, the security camera at the Pentagon magically blips out right before impact, and you never actually see the plane. Yeah.
So a lot of shady stuff.
It's just a lot of.
And I would just like to say security. Security that time brought to you by David Blaine.
Yeah. Right. I
well,
wonder if...
it's very sad to me. Like honestly, 9/11 is a trigger day for me because it reminds me of a lot of like the fucked up shit that's happened, and I wish that people were more conscious of our rights and the freedoms that we deserve, and we have a right to be defended and protected, but fuck, dude.
Well, like I said earlier, and I'm not, I want to make real clear, I know there's a lot of weird stuff involved in all of that. I try not to get involved into these kind of conversations too much because what I remember most is the five longest days of my life trying to find out whether or not my cousin was alive.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be in that building that day. And traffic and an issue with his wife and kids is the only reason that that's not the case. So that makes it so much more personal for me that all the other stuff just pisses me off so bad I try not to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is a crazy, crazy thing. So I'm trying to see if I can find this one video, but whatever. Well, I look for it for just a second longer. Fill some time, guys. Talk about something for a second.
Jesus Christ, we're talking about 9/11.
Did he really just do the be funny, funny men thing?
Right, yeah, exactly.
That's because all us comedians love to hear that shit. That's I would love to help you out, but like I'm like down to the bottom of the barrel for me. It's like those people that walked up to me on the street and said I was the third funniest. The other thing they told me was that I was the guy that did that one hilarious joke. So I have already told that one hilarious joke. I've got nothing left. It's just the one.
Okay. I think.
Is anybody else thinking about the fact that 9/11, look at all the disasters that happened around this time. We've got all the shit that happened in the with the towers and all of that. And now we've got hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. The entire Northwest is on fire. And Trump is president.
The world's using a set.
I think that whatever happened on 9/11 knocked us into like a different reality. Now shit's all crazy.
Oh, shit. I never thought of it like that.
Okay, yep. So we're going to watch this quick video. It's less than 5 minutes. I'm gonna play this for everyone, and I watch this. This is just interesting. Watch some of this stuff here. Just
on the morning of September 11th, 2001, 19 men armed with box cutters, directed by a man on dialysis in a cave fortress halfway around the world, using a satellite phone and a laptop, directed the most sophisticated penetration of the most heavily defended airspace in the world, overpowering the passengers and the military combat trained pilots on four commercial aircraft before flying those planes wildly off course for over an hour without being molested by a single fighter interceptor. These 19 hijackers, devout religious fundamentalists who like to drink alcohol, snort cocaine, and live with pink-haired strippers, managed to knock down three buildings with two planes in New York. While in Washington, a pilot who couldn't handle a single-engine Cessna was able to fly a 757 in an 8,000-foot descending 270-degree corkscrew turn to come exactly level with the ground, hitting the Pentagon in the budget analyst office where DOD staffers were working on the mystery of the $2.3 trillion that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld had announced missing from the Pentagon's coffers in a press conference the day before, on September 10th, 2001. Luckily, the news anchors knew who did it within minutes.
Osama bin Laden.
The pundits knew within hours.
Osama bin Laden.
The administration knew within the day.
Terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them.
And the evidence literally fell into the FBI's lap.
That a hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
Nope.
But for some reason, a bunch of crazy conspiracy theorists demanded an investigation into the greatest attack on American soil in history. That investigation was delayed, underfunded, set up to fail, a conflict of interest, and a cover-up from start to finish. It was based on testimony extracted through torture, the records of which were destroyed. It failed to mention the existence of WTC-7, Able Danger, PTEC, Sibel Edmonds, OBL and the CIA, and the drills of hijacked aircraft being flown into buildings that were being simulated at the precise same time that those events were actually happening.
True story.
It was lied to by the Pentagon, the CIA, the Bush administration, and as for Bush and Cheney, Well, no one knows what they told it because they testified in secret, off the record, not under oath, and behind closed doors. It didn't bother to look at who funded the attacks because that question is ultimately of little practical significance. Still, the 9/11 Commission did brilliantly, answering all of the questions the public had, except most of the victims' family members' questions, and pinned blame on all the people responsible, although no one so much as lost their job, determining the attacks were
failure of imagination.
Because
nobody in our government, at least, and I don't think the prior government that could envision flying airplanes in the buildings.
Except the Pentagon, FEMA, NORAD, and the NRO. The DIA destroyed 2.5 terabytes of data on Able Danger, but that's okay because it probably wasn't important. The SEC destroyed their records on the investigation into the insider trading before the attacks, but that's okay because destroying the records of the largest investigation in SEC history is just part of routine record keeping. NIST has classified the data that they used for their model of WTC-7's collapse, but that's okay because knowing how they made their model of the collapse would jeopardize public safety. The FBI has argued that all material related to their investigation of 9/11 should be kept secret from the public, but that's okay because the FBI probably has nothing to hide. This man never existed, nor is anything he had to say worthy of your attention, and if you say otherwise, you are a paranoid conspiracy theorist and deserve to be shunned by all of humanity. Likewise, him, and her. And her, and her, and him. Osama bin Laden lived in a cave fortress in the hills of Afghanistan, but somehow got away. Then he was hiding out in Tora Bora, but somehow got away. Then he lived in Abbottabad for years, taunting the most comprehensive intelligence dragnet employing the most sophisticated technology in the history of the world for a decade, releasing video after video with complete impunity and getting younger and younger as he did so, before finally being found in a daring SEAL team raid which wasn't recorded on video, in which he didn't resist or use his wife as a human shield, and in which these crack special forces operatives panicked and killed this unarmed man, supposedly the best source of intelligence about those dastardly terrorists on the entire planet. Then they dumped his body in the ocean before telling anyone about it. Then a couple dozen of that team's members died in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan. This is the story of 9/11, brought to you by the media which told you the hard truths about
his head could be seen to move violently forward.
And
they took the babies out of incubators.
And
mobile production facilities.
And
the rescue of Jessica Lynch.
If you have any questions about this story, you are a batshit, paranoid, tinfoil, dog-abusing baby hater. And we'll be
they just say it all goes back to perpetual war. We have a military-industrial complex that's, like, set up. It's a business. It's something that President Eisenhower warned about in his farewell address to the nation. It's something that JFK talked about in his last speech before he was murdered. It's just, that's what fucking happens.
Well, at the risk of sounding, of becoming a little unpopular, how do you herd sheep?
I don't know.
Scare them all into moving in a direction.
Yeah.
Keeping them in a pack is easy. It's getting them moving that's hard. And that takes one big bang.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, though, you know? So, there's another one.
For the record, that's also how you guide a society. You get them all moving in a direction, and then you just herd them like cats.
Mm-hmm. But that's why I think we're all really cool. We're just, like, being ourselves and doing comedy and trying to be, like, inspiring and find the beauty in life and really not getting too hung up on this kind of stuff. Like you said, like, you don't even really like to talk about it. I kind of don't even really like to talk about it because there's just so much better stuff.
I want to be on stage saying ridiculous things so that I can cry rocking in the fetal position quietly in my semi like normal.
I think this is the one.
That sounds entertaining, Mark.
Oh, this is the one.
Well, I have. You got to have a hobby.
Yeah. Right,
we're going to do one more. More.
This one's scary music.
Yeah. But watch the, just here.
This newly compiled footage from the National Institute of Science and Technology.
Sorry, listeners. But look at the way it just...
This newly compiled footage from the National Institute of Science and Technology is going to blow you away. Pay attention to the details. Do you see anything strange? Let's play it again.
Right. I like that they, like, so remixed the spooky music in this.
The nose comes out.
How about now? Do you see anything strange? If you pay attention, without any doubt, you can see the nose of this plane exit the other side of the building. You've seen this exact same footage before, but from a different angle. Now in this image, you can see the impact a bird can have on a plane. It's devastating to say the least. And yet we've been led to believe that a plane is more powerful than structural steel. That a plane meant to be lighter than air can cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. Now, in this video, you can see that a bus cannot drive through a concrete wall. So what makes people think that a plane can fly through structural steel?
The US government wanted to test what would happen if a plane crashed into the concrete walls of a nuclear power station. The jet sets off, bolted to a track to prevent takeoff. It's doing 500 miles an hour.
Just concrete.
The plane atomized with the impact.
Yeah, I mean,
it just disappeared into dust. Only the tips of the wings escaped total destruction. But the wall designed to move and absorb energy did its job well. When dealing with nuclear material, no test can ever be too drastic.
Sick job,
as you can see in this footage, the fighter jet did even worse than the bus. It was vaporized into dust. The World Trade Center wasn't made of concrete, ladies and gentlemen. It was a building made with grade A structural steel. The engineers that built the World Trade Center said it could have resisted multiple impacts from multiple planes. Now we're going to play this FOIA NIST footage from September 11th. Watch what happens. Did you notice the cutscene? That's how the footage was released, with a cutscene. In other words, they cut out the approach of the plane that hit the second tower. Let's watch this again. Now, just before the cutscene, we can actually see the time this footage was taken. 9:04. If we look at the timeline for September 11th, we can see that the second plane impacted at 9:03. So we're supposed to believe that the person filming this video stopped recording just a few seconds before the impact and then started recording again. Unfortunately, we see this same tactic play out on multiple FOIA NIST videos from that very same day. In this video, they did it again.
Just a lot of really weird stuff that, like, doesn't, you know.
Here's my problem with this. You can take 70 different
planes, ladies and gentlemen, is because it's easier to cut out the plane than to put one in via CGI.
I kind of dig in these beats, though.
Yeah. In this footage, we can see the wingtip disappear behind the corner of the building. And in this video, the entire wing disappears. Would it surprise you to know that the person that recorded this footage is the head of the MIT Media Lab? MIT level CGI, ladies and gentlemen. It's either that or a mega bunker-busting cruise missile with wings. Notice how quickly explosives can transform this 100-story column resembling the World Trade Center into dust. This is exactly what happened on 9/11. High-velocity explosives triggered to cascade in a visual way that makes it look like the building collapsed at free-fall speeds. This is what happened on 9/11. Pay attention to these horizontal ejections. They're a classic sign of a controlled demolition. In this footage, you can see the same types of ejections occurring right around the zone of the collapse. There are multiple examples of this. It gets so sneaky that they let off a few charges as the second plane, Flight 175, hits the South Tower. It's bait and switch, ladies and gentlemen. And as people were looking at the explosion rocking the South Tower, other explosions were occurring in the other tower. Now, you can deny the evidence if you want to, but one thing is clear. Absolutely everything that has been broadcast since 9/11 has been fake news. Fake news that keep people distracted from what really happened on that day. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
Yeah. Holy shit. I just joined the resistance. Damn it, Dees.
You're in. You just got tricked into being in.
You know what? I'm taking the rest of the pizza. That's not worth one slice. If I've got to be part of the resistance.
Listen, I can't come to a lot of meetings, okay?
My whole problem with all of this stuff, and like I said, I'm sure that there is way more stuff going on than any of us are fully aware of.
Oh, yeah.
But you can take any piece of film and edit it to tell any story you want. And that's the problem. And there's probably a dozen different people doing that. So which one isn't editing the film? Well, that's the question.
Can I, my favorite thing about 9/11, my favorite piece of evidence is...
Not many percents get started that way.
All right.
My favorite thing about 9/11.
It starts to get darker sooner, yeah. And...
Well, it's Building 7. Building 7 to me is a smoking gun because I mean, I'm not an expert. I'm not a demolitions expert, but it's like that was like clearly a demolition. And it's like even if it wasn't a demolition, there's like the physics of reality. Like it just doesn't work that way. Please pull it up. It's like a 30-second video, but this is the video that was aired.
You're going to make me give you my conspiracy theory on this, aren't you?
On Building 7? It has to be
On the entire thing.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That's why we're talking about it.
There's all kinds of evidence that there was chatter that they knew there was going to be something going on that day in advance. So, yes, the government, knowing there was going to be an attack of that type in that place, took advantage to fulfill their own agenda at the same exact moment. The timing was off by seconds one way or the other on the multiple events that happened, which is why when you look at it in a linear fashion, nothing lines up. But the government blew their buildings and did the things they wanted to do under cover of something that was already horrendously about to take place.
Well, to me, so this is Building 7 right here. This building wasn't hit by an airplane. It had like some very insignificant damage to like fire from fires and like debris hitting it, but that's how that building came down, wasn't it? And so to me, that's a controlled demolition.
Didn't it come down later? Was it evacuated when it came
down? It actually came down. A reasonably large amount of time after
it was. It came down that day. Original.
Yeah, but later that day. Like,
but even if it came down 10 minutes after the initial hit, that's just too much.
Well, even if it came down a week later, like you still wouldn't have time to rig it with explosives. Like who? Somebody put explosives in there at some point. It wasn't the Saudi terrorists
beforehand.
And I used to live near Vegas when I was a kid. I've seen a lot of controlled demolitions.
Yeah.
Right.
So that
I saw the kingdom explode.
Hmm. Well, no, I lived in Vegas during the time when the strip was really becoming what it is today. So they were taken down. Like, when I was a kid, the original MGM Grand fire. My parents were in Vegas that day. So during that period of time, the dunes went down. The sands was. So they did a lot of controlled demolitions, and you know the difference between a building being brought down and a building coming down because of some outside agent.
Right.
Other than that. So I don't disagree with all that. That's why I'm saying I believe that it's a combination of things that – and I'm not saying government, but let's be honest, it's government – took advantage of, hey, look, they're going to run these planes into the towers. This is our chance to blow that shit right now.
Yeah.
$2.3 trillion. You.
And for the record, I think that I have done an amazing Mark Morris. You guys are going to pay me for doing the voiceover as Mark Morris, right?
That's right. And when Mark Morris disappears, his truck, he took a load to Minnesota, never came back.
That fat bastard's never going to know we set this up. It's going to be our own new 9/11.
So you get for joining the resistance, Mark.
All right. We all know time that what that music means. We're gonna wrap up the show, guys. That was an interesting round robin of conspiracy theories. I like getting into that stuff, though. It's interesting to me. It just I get sucked in the rabbit hole every year, and part of it's because I just don't know. I just don't know. Like there's things that convince me every way. I mean, I know our government's a piece of shit, so I don't put it past them. So anyway, all right.
Just call our government a piece of shit with this like really pleasant music.
Well, the good news is the website's down, so right now nobody's going to hear this.
Yeah, we've got a couple more weeks to live.
Yeah, cool.
Fucking thanks, GoDaddy.
Yeah. I mean, they probably have my computer tapped here and listen to this live. they're big fans. All right. Here we go. Traz, I love your knowledge on the things that the most fascinating things in the world. And I mean that, like you have this great knowledge about things that really interest me. And I actually, this is a great example. Yesterday, someone started asking me about Bitcoins.
Oh, really?
And I just like, well, it's funny you asked me that because I just got a great tutorial about Bitcoins the other night from my buddy Traz on why they are a thing, you know?
Right.
So I was able to have this conversation, like, you know, in this 9/11, like these things that are these, I don't want to call them obscure or fringe, but, you know, this...
No, it is. It's super fringe. I found out about Bitcoins in 2008, and I've been telling people about them, and it's like 2017 now, and people are finally like, oh, did you guys hear about Bitcoins? So thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
And I now have to have a conversation with Traz after the show.
Mark, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the scene, what you bring for the comedy in Spokane, putting shows together. People don't have the drive to put stuff together and actually do things, so it's nice to get stuff put together and get people paid and get, you know, more is better, more on the scene, more things happening.
You notice he never says I'm funny.
I wouldn't put you on any of my shows if I didn't think you were funny.
But no, no. Joking aside, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I mean, better is more is always better. We have a lot of growth, and I think Spokane comedy is in a growth, going through some growing pains right now. And I think we are going to be, we're growing positively, though, and it's going to be good. So I think having more access and more things happening in the area is good, and having people who are willing to do it, because it's a lot of fucking work. I know I do it too. It's a pain in the ass, but it's nice. So thank you.
And in absentia, on behalf of Deese, I'm sure Jay looks amazing tonight.
Oh, also, Jay, I'd like to compliment you for not being here tonight. Made the show quite lovely.
Oh, pizza was phenomenal.
I'm really glad I guessed the right combination of topics. That was cool.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, thank you. Jeez. Ding, 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 ding.
It was the pizza was phenomenal. All right. No, but I love you, Jay, and I miss you. Traz.
All right. Yeah, I'll go. Mark, thank you so much for, hey, you get the same compliment Deese gets. Fucking thanks for being a promoter. Thanks for getting comedians paid gigs. Just, like, mostly that, because it's easy to get people free gigs. Paid gigs is, like, next level. So you really are expanding the scene, pushing the scene. Despite being, like, a new guy around a little bit, from what I've heard, like, you're still out there.
Shit, I skipped a step.
In addition to that, I love your style of comedy. I think you're super funny. And it's just, your style of comedy works really well in the piano bar room, so...
thank you, CDs.
Right. So thanks for showing up. Thanks for being enthusiastic. Also, I really appreciate that you're a sober comedian. You know, a lot of people want to make the joke like, oh, all comedians are alcoholics. Ha ha ha. Not you. So, fuck yeah. Good for you, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Did he say anything? That was for both of us?
Oh, sorry.
Did he say anything nice about Deese?
I mean, Deese is also a promoter, so that too. Deese, I forgot about you. Thank you for being so brave, man. Thank you for not being afraid to say what you want. Thank you for not, like, shying away from topics. You know, 9/11 is a good example. Today, you're just like, so today's 9/11. We're going to fucking talk about it. And you do that not just with the topics on your show, but with the material that you bring to the stage and with just the conversations you have with people in real life every day. And I also appreciate the way that you interact with people. You know, like, you really have that sort of, like, special magic that makes people want to, like, come around and be better people, do interesting things. And thank you. We need more of that. You are the resistance.
Resistance. Right, resistance.
Now my turn, right? You know what, Deese, and to a certain degree this goes to both of you, I think millennials, younger people, get a really bad rap a lot of times that in some cases is deserved, about dismissing other people, especially older people, as not having a point of view or a reference or having anything, you know, valid to contribute. And I have never felt that in any way from you guys. You value everybody for what they are willing to present and not for any stereotype that you place on them. And I think that's amazing today. And Traz, you know what? I know so few people in this world that have always had an upbeat attitude about everything, but also such a wide knowledge base, without, like, the attitude that my opinion is the only right one and I'm not willing to listen to yours. You know, you're so open to discussion rather than dictation to other people, and I really respect that.
Thank you.
All right.
And Jay, you were beautiful this evening.
Yeah, Jay.
And I just loved every comment you made. I just, it was so astute.
That is true. All right. And Jay just did.
She's going to kill me when she hears that.
Jay did have this one message to say. So she sent this. Go ahead, Jay.
I completely agree with you, Deese.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. All right. Well, that's the show, guys. We're going to get out of here. If this does happen to come up, our website gets back up before December. Or fucking December. It's fucking... I have fucking so fucked up. Yeah. Before September 17th, come... Or September 18th, come out to The Buzz. Check out the show. Great show. Mark runs every month. I'll be on it. Some of the great comics are on it also. And then that's the third Monday of every month at The Buzz Pizzeria. Mark, do you want to give out your social media, how people can find you, follow you?
Absolutely. You can find me on Facebook at Mark Morris Comedy, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Trucker Mark M, all one word.
All right. There you go. Okay, guys. Well, we are going to get out of here for tonight. So for the social hour, I am Deese, and for Traz and Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I would like to apologize to strippers, anyone who's ridden a Ferris wheel with me, carnies, that mysterious girl from Harvest Moon Bar in Rockford, Washington, and 9/11. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. I'm 35 and I'm doing coke and finger blasting Stacy on the Ferris wheel. Not as magical anymore, kids.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!